Good evening. Here, those of you here at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and you out in Radio Land, the missions, and our tape family, we greet you in the name of our precious Lord, your Lord, if you know him. If you want to know him, may it won't be long before you be rejoicing in him. We come to the study again, and our study in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and the 9th verse. We begin with the 9th verse tonight, don't we? But I want us to go back. It's a short chapter, and let's begin reading from the first verse. The Lord gave us a gracious day today. Our hearts are strengthened and rejoicing in him. Now, the 5th chapter, immorality, all the way through it, is rebuked. Separation, it calls for separation. And so let's begin reading with the first verse. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you, from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Now we begin with that verse tonight. Let's read down through the rest of the chapter. Yet not altogether with fornicators of the world, this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now he's talking primarily here to the church, to individuals, to those individuals in the church who may be practicing such sins. And when it is discovered, and if they are unwilling to repent and clean up, then put them on the outside. They'll have no association with them whatsoever. Nothing. And we'll see that as we go through here. These are all instructions for our present time, the present church, as well it was back in the time of the apostle addressing the Corinthian church. And this is just as proper for the church that we have here, First Baptist Church of Algiers, for every one of us. Not that there's anyone that's practicing these sins. I wouldn't think there were any here. But if there are people, or if there's any individual maybe practicing such, and is revealed by the Spirit of God, is brought up in the assembly and is found to be so, then that individual has to be dealt with by the church in a proper manner, in the way laid down, like we saw last week. And there comes the times when individuals will not give up their sins, that eventually they move themselves out, because you cannot stand and sit under the preaching of the truth forever, living with sin in your open sin or hidden, doing things underneath and trying to keep it from other people. But listen, because the Holy Spirit always exposes the heart under the preaching of the truth. Now, verse 9, let's look at it. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. That means known fornicators. Now, what does he mean by that? I wrote unto you an epistle. Now, the word epistle means letter. I wrote unto you a letter. Now, many commentators agree that the letter to which the apostle refers to here, in this instance, it does not exist today. There is no doubt that many others are lost. But get this. But we can rest assured that the Lord saw to it that the Christian revelation, that is, the Holy Scriptures, as we have them today in the 66 books of the Bible, are all that were intended by God for the general use of believers. Or he would, in his providence, have preserved more of the writings of inspired men. So we have it here. And do not let that in any way affect you, what I just said a while ago, because we do have everything that God intended us for us to have right here in the 66 books of the Bible. Now, the letter was addressed to the Corinthian church not to keep company with fornicators. With fornicators. That is, not to mingle with them. To refrain from having any relations with the wicked. To refrain from that individual. Now, let us turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. You brought your Bible tonight. This is just a study. We won't stay too long, but let us go through and get as much as we possibly can. The 5th chapter of Ephesians, the 11th verse, 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I'm going to read that again. Have no fellowship. In other words, that word fellowship means communion. Have no communion with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Then we have another scripture here in 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, the 14th verse. The 3rd chapter of 2 Thessalonians, the 14th verse. Listen to it. And if any man, anyone, obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now that was the intention of the Apostle Paul, that the individual himself may be ashamed. Not that the apostle wanted to shame him, but that the individual who is practicing sin will be ashamed himself as you deny yourself converse with him, communion with him, set him aside, not as an enemy, as a brother, until he repents. Then truly, if that individual never repents, it's a good sign he's not a true brother. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Not to keep company with fornicators. Look at verse 10. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with covetous, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Now the apostle Paul explains himself more exactly as pertaining to this subject, as we see here in the 10th verse. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world. That is, not entirely and under all circumstances with the fornicators of this world. Now, the apostle does not mean that we should refuse all kinds of communication with the workers of iniquity. Now, he's talking about the world as a whole, the cosmos world as a whole. Now, let me repeat again. He does not mean that we should refuse all kinds of communications with the workers of iniquities, and that we should not treat them with courtesy or be engaged with them in any of the transactions of life or in the ordinary dealings of society between one another, for this would be impossible, wouldn't it, in dealing with the outside world, because we deal with all kinds of people, all kinds of sinners. And that's what the apostle means. He explains the subject here. Now, but what the apostle does mean is that we should not so associate with them. Now you get this. We should not so associate with them as to be esteemed to belong to them, or as to be corrupted by their example, you see. We are not to make them companions and friends. And that's what that means there. Now, we have to work in the world. I did for 22 years, plus in the army and other businesses. But I worked among people there. But I never came, the Lord would never allow me to become associates of theirs or companions of them, or be drawn to them and be corrupted by their example. Worked in the world, but yet not of it, you see. In the world, but not of it. Because I treated them all kindly and as a natural friend, as friends with, not intimate friends, but a natural friend. So we are not to make them companions and friends, to become intimately related, close unto them. No, we're not supposed to do that. And still yet you could be kind. Now you say that's a paradox. You know, you think about those things and you wonder how you can live in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, and yet you can be kind and unto them, just like a friend, and yet not to be intimately associated with them, as not to be influenced by their lives or join their company. Now, he tells us, not altogether with the fornicators of this world. Every one of us have to work. And you've got to work in the world, and you certainly, if you try to avoid the fornicators of this world, or all of these other types of sinners, you would have to completely get out of the world, wouldn't you? And you certainly can't do it. But you'll work among profanity and all types of individuals. Rebels, extortioners, just like he lays down here. But he goes on now. He says, not altogether with the fornicators of this world, are extortioners. Now, who are the extortioners? Talk about extortioners. Those who indulge in frauds. Those who are greedy of gain. I know that a member of this assembly here called me one time, came over to talk with me, and that he was promised a job, but it had to be so that he had to take money underneath through fraud. And we talked it over. The Lord showed him that he didn't want him to have that job. It was a good paying job. He would have made a lot of money. And then so he looked through that whole situation. The Lord opened it up to him. He came over to me for pastoral advice. And we talked together. I said, it's better if you deny yourself and leave that job alone. It was a political job. And it would have to take fraud. And so he battled over the situation. God gave him victory over it. And now he has another good job. He has a decent job, a respectable job. So now we're talking here about a covetous individual. Covetous is those who indulge in frauds or those who are greedy of gain, just greedy of gain. Always want gain, always greedy of gain. It doesn't matter how the individual gets it, he wants it, you see. Greedy of gain. Now that's the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of the flesh. That shows that there's no new nature there. But so the apostle warns them to be separated from individuals like that. Otherwise, you may become influenced by their examples. Then he says, with idolaters. Now, what are idolaters? Well, worshippers of idols. Worshippers of idols. For then, and then the next statement he makes, are with covetous or with idolaters, for then ye needs go out of the world. Now the world is full of the licentious and the covetous. Idolaters and extortioners, with whom we are compelled to deal in some form of business or another. Work with them. And you cannot help but go in restaurants and sit down at the tables with them. They're all around us. Now, if we should avoid them altogether, it would be necessary to leave the world. Just like if you were going out to eat, and if you had to go out to eat and find a place that doesn't sell any kind of liquor or beer or something, you probably, I don't know where you'd go to find where that stuff is not sold. Because pretty near all of your eating establishments have some kind of liquor in them. And therefore, you'd have to avoid every place. So, we go in those places, we sit down, we don't know who's around us, we don't know the type of people, all kinds of sinners. And if we, like the, you take the hermits, they go out and live in caves, try to escape the world, and they can't do it. You'd have to die or commit suicide to get away from sin, to get away from yourself. And then let us look at verse 11. All right? Verse 10. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with covetous, or extortionists, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. And then look at verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man, now he's talking to the church. Before he was talking to the world as a whole. But now to the church. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one do not eat. No, not to eat. I have written you to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator. Now, the meaning is, if anyone whom you look upon as a brother, and this goes for either one, either the sexes, for anyone whom you look upon as a brother leads a life that is disgraceful and unworthy of a Christian, then have nothing to do with that individual. You know, right away, I know we think grand of people. And it could be a teacher or someone in the church of high respect, high regard. And then you become friends with an individual like that. through the years, but at the same time, you may not know the type of life he might be living, and all of a sudden, they get a letter like this from the Apostle Paul and said, now, anyone who is called, who is looked upon as a brother within your assembly, who leads a life that is disgraceful and unworthy of a Christian, have nothing to do with them. And oh, how we became attached to people through the years here in this assembly. And come to find out that there were rebels and did all manners of things that were evil against our late pastor. And how we had close ties with them. We sang with them. And we prayed with them. We went here and there with them. What a friendship we had with them. But here comes the separation. Here comes the warning from individuals who now have been exposed to their evil, to their sin. Do not keep company with them. Do not consider them a friend. All right? That was hard, wasn't it? It made us, many of us, search hearts and pray. Come to find out that these very ones who we trusted, whom we trusted were true friends, we thought were true friends, have turned on the truth, turned on us. And it's a hard thing to break, but by the grace of God, we can do it only by grace. Come ye out from among them, be ye separate from them, said our Lord. Do not touch the unclean things. Do not partake of their sins, of their rebellion, of their jealousy. Keep a pure life. Keep a clean heart before me. Do not walk in the ways of the evil one. Oh my, it takes a lot of heart searching, a lot of breaking. But praise God, he gives us the grace. Now, he goes on, be wholly separated and withdrawn from such a person. And that's what he's talking about, people within our own assembly. Don't associate with him in any manner. The description that is called a brother here refers to one who is on a false profession, to which there is no corresponding of reality in the life. And you can tell those individuals who are on a false profession, there's no corresponding of the reality of a true profession in that life. Then are covetous. That's that next description there. Are covetous, are idolater. Now, we have scriptures here. I want you to jot these down. I won't have time to read them. I have a number of them, and I'll give them to you if you want to jot them down. Our time is rapidly getting by. Dealing with covetous or idolatry. Now, Luke 12. I do want us to read that portion. Let's everybody turn in our Bibles to Luke 12. Luke, the 12th chapter. Let's read here about an individual, a covetous individual. The 12th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 15th verse. 12:15. And he said unto them, Jesus speaking here, take heed and beware of covetousness. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. Now there you is a self-centered individual, a covetous individual. You would think that he would have mercy upon the poor, the needy, and distribute it accordingly. But no, he thought only of himself. He said that 19th verse, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. He's speaking about a covetous individual here. Now, let's turn, I want you to jot this down with your pencil and paper there. 1 Corinthians 6:10. Ephesians 5:5. 2 Timothy 3:2. Then 2 Peter 2:14. All right, now let's look at that word idolaters. Now, what's an idolater? So what does that mean, the description of idolaters? The term idolater, as applied to one called a brother, is not meant here as an open worshiper of idols. In other words, they didn't openly worship idols, those in the church. It is not meant here as an open... is not meant here as an open worshiper of idols, for such a one would hardly have been found among the brethren. But the reference is to one, now listen to this, the reference is to one who ate at the heathen sacrifices and participated in the heathenish customs connected therewith. Now, it also refers to those who, while they despise idols, now you get this, while you and I might despise idols, they were making a show of worshiping them, nevertheless, in order to please the ungodly. Now, that's a compromise, and that's what we have in the world today. And you take many of our organizations who despise idolatrous worship. Certainly, they will not worship Mary. They will not worship the saints of heaven and so on. But they'll join company with those who are idol worshipers. To compromise with them, to please the ungodly. In other words, to get them over, to come over and see their side of it, just to please the ungodly. How many might despise smoking? I know when I was a kid, I used to, I didn't care about smoking. I despised it, even when I got in the service. But I did it as a friendly gesture, with those who I went out with, and not knowing that I was harming myself, just as a friendly gesture, more or less a compromise, to get on good terms. And that's what the church is doing today, though the church and the world are getting together. I don't care where you go. And there's nothing but a compromise, compromising the truth, although that individual, that church may not believe in those things, but yet to get on friendly terms with the world, they become involved. And then exactly what's happening today, that's what all this great so-called movement's going on. It's key 73, like I mentioned this morning. So now that's in order to please the ungodly. And brother, when the church does that, they have corrupted themselves. They have lost their power. They've lost their testimony. If we were to do that here and get ourselves involved with the world, we'll lose our testimony here. May it never happen. Paul insisted that the Christian fellowship must not put up with people like that, which is nothing less than making a mockery of the glory of God. That's what it is. Make a mockery of the glory of God. Now he goes on, a covetous idolater, and look at this next description, a railer, or a railer. Now what is a railer? R-A-I-L-E-R. What is a railer? And the best definition I found of a railer is given by H.A. Ironside. I love his writings, and they're very helpful to me. But let me quote what he tells us about a railer. A railer. Quote, "It is a person who has a tongue loosed at both ends and on a pivot in the middle, which is a vicious talker, an evil speaker, one who can destroy the reputation of another, just as the murderer drives a dagger into the heart and destroys a life." Now, I looked up that word railer, and I see where the Greek has reference to women. In other words, they have a tongue that's loosed on both ends. Now, I'm not being critical of women here. I'm not saying it could be you, but the general idea is of a woman. And it's a person who has a tongue loosed at both ends and is on a pivot. And you got that pivot there, and it just continues. You can spin it around, and which means the tongue is constantly pouring out and constantly talking. And I heard the pastor remark some time ago at a little meeting, and thus he said, "I'm coming to the conclusion I don't believe there's any women in heaven. There'll ever be any women in heaven." And somebody said, "Why?" I said, "Well, doesn't the word tells us that there was a space for a half hour in glory? There was a space of silence. And how in the world can you have women in heaven that can stay quiet for a half hour?" You see, of course, that's a little going to the extreme. I know that, but it bears out the point that the women as a whole, they're good talkers. And I like to talk to women. I like women to talk. But sometimes I have to put the receiver down, and I got things to do, and I'll come back. They're still there. Like someone asked me one day, "Are you still there?" I said, "Yes, I'm here." And I just had to put it down and go somewhere else. And I did something else, and I came back. It was still there. "Oh, you're still there?" "Yes, I'm there." "Yeah." And I'll just lean there for a while. And after a while, I said, "That's all? All right, bye-bye." But you know, that's true. Now, our railer is one. Now, we've had them here. We might still have them. I don't know. You'll find them in every church, I guess. Just women who are just loose tongue, and they'll talk. And I'm not a great talker. I don't like to talk too long. I like to say things in a few minutes, get it over with. But I know it's just a habit of some, and I can understand that. And the Lord's given me grace just to listen. Sit down and listen. Just to be patient. Just listen. And I'm learning many things by listening to women talk. But let me give it to you again, and we'll go on. Now, I just wanted to bring that portion out here to give us a somewhat of a good definition of what a railer is. It is a person who has a tongue loosed at both ends, and on the pivot in the middle, a vicious talker, an evil speaker, and one who can destroy the reputation of another, just as a murderer drives a dagger into the heart and destroys a life. And the scripture gives us as silly women. You know, over in the third chapter, I believe, of 2 Timothy, it speaks of silly women. Women that are silly. Women that are silly. A railer, now, unquote, now. And I went on to find this definition. A railer also is one whose characteristic it is to abuse others. Now, that only not pertain to women, but to men also. Now, listen, and you and I know that for certain. In this congregation here, as we've experienced it under our late pastor, is one, listen, a railer also is one whose characteristic is to abuse others. They get a lot of fun out of that. To slander their character and wound their feelings. That's what a railer is. Now you get that? Now you ever come across that word railer, you know what it means. It's an individual who's always railing, always trying to abuse others, and slander the characters and wound the feelings of others. They get joy out of that. You know, more or less, we'll call them a sadist. They get a joy out of torturing people. That's what a sadist is. Now, you think about that. And we've had them here. We've had people who professed to be saved some time ago. They're supposed to be head of colleges that took time and to slander our pastor, abuse him, and to try to wound his feelings and discourage him because of the truth he stood for. Brother, that's from the upper line all the way down. Then he goes on, a drunkard, a railer, or a drunkard. A drunkard, a person who is habitually or frequently drunk. Or you would call him an alcoholic. Now, let me speak to you young people here. Listen to me. You young people, in these vicious days in which we live, if you never want to be a drunkard, do not fall in with the current idea of thinking it is fashionable for everybody to drink a little. No man ever became a drunkard who was not first a moderate drinker. Now you think about that. No man ever became a drunkard who was not first a moderate drinker. Someone may jump up and say, well, I can take a little and it does me no harm. Did you ever stop to think of the harm it might do to another? You ever stop to think about those things? I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. The 8th chapter, right across the page there. And that 13th verse, listen to it. Well, before that, I want us to read just a little up. It'll explain it further. The 8th verse. The 8th verse of 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. But meat commended us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Listen this. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. You know, Paul one time says, all things are lawful unto me, they're not expedient. You know, we should take, we should live in the light of others, and I mean in respect of others. Live in the respect of others. No one lives to themselves. Do you know that? And if I know I'm doing something, I may be at liberty to do it. But if I know that it's going to make my brother fall or hinder that individual, then I have to take upon myself to deny myself that privilege, though I may be at liberty and where it wouldn't do me any harm. But how much harm will it do to my brother and or my sister or to that awakened sinner who is watching my life? Now, I'm not talking about sin, gross sin, things like that. If meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth. And that's the reason why we've got lots of drinkers in the churches today, is that the leader is in the barroom with his foot upon the stool drinking beer, And many times you might find them intoxicated, and then their members become like them. There's nothing wrong in it. And yet that individual professes to be saved. Perhaps there might have been some there in the church at Corinth, as there are now, who were addicted to this vice. Now the apostle enjoins on true believers, listen, to have no fellowship with a man who is a drunkard. Have no fellowship. Or an extortioner. That's the next statement there in 1 Corinthians. With such a one, know not to eat. Now, know not to eat refers to the sharing of food. Now, let's go on. I'm going to close in a few minutes here. Listen. That is either keeping house together or the friendly intimacy of meals. In referring to the characters described, the Apostle Paul makes it plain to the church that they were not to entertain as guests. Now you listen to me. They are not to entertain as guests, nor visit as host, nor unite with them at a party in the house of a common acquaintance. But they were to cut them off from their society and give it to be understood that they would have nothing in common with them. Now, as far as it lies in our hands, we must avoid relations with those whom the church has cut off from its fellowship. Now, everyone who walked out of this church, not counted with us, who walked out in their rebellion and manifested it while they were here, now, we're called upon, the church is called upon to cut off from every one of them from its fellowship. And you are not to go visit with them or be guests in their homes or play host in your homes unto them, but be ye separated from every one of them. Now, every individual who rose up against in this church, it was because of sin in their life. And the Holy Spirit exposed them and they show themselves. But you find maybe now and then you find one running out of this house, calling this one over the phone, trying to keep that friendship. Well, you are doing it in disobedience to the Word of God. Every one of us who name the name of Christ, who are born again, or if you want to be saved, you and I are supposed to separate ourselves from all the ungodly that have separated themselves from this fellowship here, and not to have anything to do with them. Now, suppose if they're in need, suppose if they're in distress, suppose if they're hungry and they're calling upon you for help. Well, that's a different story now. Now, on the other hand, Paul was not against helping anyone who is excommunicated with food, fuel, or other necessities of life. Because then you're showing forth the general Christian spirit. Now, those who are in distress and want, we are assuredly not forbidden to show kindness and compassion. And by doing those things, perhaps we can win them back into our assembly here by showing kindness unto them, but not to be partakers of their sins or of their hospitality or of their fellowship. But if they call upon us for help, then we gladly give it to them. Like food or fuel, clothing, like we have the storehouse. That storehouse is open to everyone. And we have the enemies of the gospel that partake of that. But at the same time, we're showing generosity, kindness, and love in the Spirit of Christ. And let's continue to do that. But to avoid all intimate fellowship with them, that they, perhaps, they may be so ashamed. Because now, the apostle does not, he doesn't tell us to count them as an enemy. But perhaps, if they are children of God, if they were caught in error, and being put on the outside, avoiding them, it may put them to shame. And like we read in the story there this last couple of weeks about this individual who repented, and they were taken back into the church as a repenting saint who saw the error of his way and came back confessing and acknowledging his sins and humble, prostrated at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the church took him back in. But he was a different individual altogether. And we never know who may come back. We don't know. We don't know who's listening out there in radio land to us as the Holy Spirit is sending forth the message Sunday after Sunday. Sure, they're listening in. And my prayer is that those who did go out from us, my prayer is the Lord will restore them and bring them back and put them in their right minds. Bring them on the Holy Spirit conviction. They don't know Christ. And break their that rebellion and jealousy in their hearts. We don't know. Just have to look to the Lord and trust Him. And pray even for our enemies. That's what the Lord tells us. Pray for our enemies. Pray for them. Do good to them who despise you and use you. Do good for them. That's the Spirit of Christ. We don't have to manifest the same spirit as they manifest. And then if we do, well, we'll be just like them. But we're having the mind of Christ, the love of Christ, the Spirit of Christ. And to pray for them. Do good unto our enemies. Pray for them. Perchance God would grant them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. I'm glad you came tonight. I'm glad I came. That's the end of our message. And may God's richest blessings rest upon them, upon His word, as we've spoken it, thus saith the Lord. And may the grace of our God rest upon every one of us and be with you throughout the week. Be your strength. Guide you through your life, on your job, wherever you're doing your businesses, in your home. Let's stand. Our dear Heavenly Father, tonight we want to thank Thee for this hour. We thank Thee for Your word. And may our Father, we submit unto it in obedience unto the authority of it. Our Father, may Thy word humble us and break us and keep us broken at Thy feet, that You may use us, and may our lives demonstrate the grace of God, the kindness of God, the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God, as we lead back, go back to our homes, in Christ's name we ask it, and for His sake, amen.